different also from a normal lecture. I will talk today about Krishna's pastimes based on our scriptures, and I request you to listen to these pastimes in a very attentive mood, in a mood of service really, where you serve these pastimes with your good attention. You know, devotional service is composed of Shravanam and Kirtanam, or hearing, and you can make this hearing or Shravanam really a devotional service which will increase your bhakti in the heart. If you make an effort to listen very attentively to what you will hear, and to participate also in the kirtan. So what we will be talking about is Krishna's homecoming. You might be knowing that Krishna every day morning leaves the village of Vrindavan in order to, how do we say, to go cowherding. At the end of that pastime, he comes home to the village. Every day this pastime repeats itself, and every day the Brijbasis are very, very distressed when they see Krishna leaving quite early in the morning and being absent. Now, I do also request something which is very unusual in the Hare Krishna temple. No noise, no mobile phones, no talks separately from what is going on. I know. No distraction. Peace, peace, peace. And full attention. Huh? So you please do that. Mickey, this means also no running around and making photos, huh? Maybe what we can do is we can ask one devotee to see, to be maybe there at the door and see that it will remain peaceful during the time. Who can do so? Like, I think in English you say he's like an usher. Do we have this word? Usher. Usher. Like an usher. Who is a good usher? Need someone to close the door. And when you see someone gets, children get nervous, you have to give them milk. Or when someone walks in on the hands, you have to say, feet is better, and you sit down. You know, like that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. No cuddles, please. My dear devotees, I have brought you great news this evening. Every day, Krishna comes back to the village of Vrindavan. Throughout the day, the devotees in Vrindavan are extremely eager to see their Lord. Let us hear how Radharani waits for Krishna, who's out somewhere following the cows. Her thoughts reflect what goes on in the mind of all Brajavasis. Oh, will this long day ever come to an end? When will the evening arrive and bring the auspicious sight of Nandana Krishna to my eyes? I long to see Krishna's curling locks of hair covered with the dust upraised by the cows. I want to see Krishna's beautiful moon-like face and his handsome form. Oh, when will the suffering which I feel in my eyes from the absence of Krishna disappear? Oh, my life stretches on for 1,000 millennia. The cruel creator has turned this afternoon into a hard grinding stone that crushes my grain-like heart. My dear devotees, is this not your life? You live in London, which is a hard, hard stone which pressures on the tender heart and your life is ground, ground, ground every day by this monster stone called London, which crushes your grain like heart. The only solace to cure the pangs of separation from Krishna is to hear about him. My dear devotees, my dear skeptics, those who talk about Krishna are our greatest welfare workers. Your separation from Krishna is burning like a viraha agni, the fire of separation. And only if you apply the sandalwood and wet lotus leaves sprinkled with the pastimes of Krishna can you become peaceful. And only if you sing Krishna's names can you become peaceful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The afternoon passes for the Brijbasis in great agony. Krishna is yet to appear. Just then, when everyone is very, very disturbed, Chandana Kala suddenly arrives. Kala means time and Chandana means sandalwood. So the time is experienced as a hot fire for the Brijbasis, but the Sakhi brings cool sandalwood and puts it on the time. So some good news are coming. Everyone asks, "Oh, Chandana Kala, where have you come from?" "From the forest of Vrindavan." "What is Krishna doing in Vrindavan's forest?" And now Chandana Kala talks about Krishna and makes all the devotees joyful by just talking about what Krishna does. Would you like to hear?
Yes.
Krishna's playing ball. And Krishna jokes with his friends. Shridham came to Krishna and said, "Oh Krishna, I'm much stronger than you." Krishna answers, "What are you saying, Shridham? Don't you know that I can break your eardrums with a particle of my roaring?" Just a little loud sound, and your eardrums are inconvenienced. "Moreover, I can crush your body to dust with my bull-like arms." And then the friends of Krishna talk to him. "Krishna, for no reason you have become so proud of killing the demons. But everyone knows that it were the Brahmanas who killed Putana with their mantras." "Krishna, you talk very loudly. You claim to have slayed Agasura. But we were also there and entered his belly." "Krishna, don't forget. If you say, I lifted Govardhan Hill, I will say that it went up in the air by itself, being pleased with our worship." So the coward boys say to Krishna, "You're not as strong as you say." "We were there doing our mantras and pujas, and then, whoop, the Govardhan Hill went up on itself. It's not due to your own strengths. It's because of us. You just held your finger under it. I cannot understand why you are so puffed up, Krishna." Don't imitate this, you know. And one friend even says, "My dear friend Damoda, you are an expert only in eating. You have defeated Subal only because he is weak. And you have adopted cheating means. Please, do not praise yourself as a great fighter. You have advertised yourself as a serpent, and I am the peacock who will now devour you." And then the coward boys step forward, challenge Krishna to a wrestling match, and they wrestle like anything with Krishna. And sometimes, in order to please his dear friends, Krishna voluntarily does not win the wrestling match, but he allows himself to be wrestled down until both of his shoulders touch the ground, and Krishna takes the hand like this and says, "I'm defeated by you. Please release me." So, finally comes the time when Krishna has played enough. And he tells his friend, Now it is time to stop playing in the forest. Now let us return to Braj. Call the cows back to the Goshalas by sounding your flutes and horns. Balaram and the young cowherds, who were saturated with sincere and friendly affection for one another, tooted their flutes, toot toot, their horns and their panpipes, while walking slowly in the direction of Braj. They made the cowherding sound. You know, you can imagine there's millions of cows which come being called by the flutes and the panpipes of the cowherd boys. They come from everywhere. It's like a stream of white milk, it looks. And they will now be directed to walk towards Vrindavan. So the cowherd boys, they sound. This is now a lesson for you, how you must sound. Hee hee, hee hee. And then they, please say that you know how to do these things. Hee hee, hee hee. And then they call the individual cows. Shavali. Pishangi. Kali. Nila. Harini. Vilohini. Dhumala. And Shushila. Come here. Yes. I thought you're from London, but you have some cow herding experience. You're not as bad as I thought. So they say, we are going home now, so do not wander in the forest. And now it so happens that some of the cows have almost a human psychology. They feel all the cows are coming when the flute is sounded. But I'm a special cow. I will hide myself behind a tree. And only if Krishna personally calls me, then only I will come. I think sometimes immature devotees also want a lot of attention to their own personality. And they feel, only if I'm called, then I will come. I have good news for you. Krishna keeps a list of all of his devotees in his heart, and he always makes arrangements how to bring us all back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada writes that Krishna is becoming aware of us even before the time where we actively pray for his mercy. And I feel we all have made this experience that even before coming to Krishna consciousness, a few arrangements happened in our lives which showed us beyond any mistake that Krishna had planned to bring us to Krishna consciousness. So all the attractive cows move now slowly towards Braj. Due to their heavy udders, they can't walk very fast. Mother Earth felt great bliss from the touch of these billions of cow hooves, even though they were forcibly striking her surface. The reason why Mother Earth felt happy, although the cows went with their sharp hooves on the surface, was because Krishna walked with his lotus feet right after the cows, and he healed all the wounds on the surface of Mother Earth. My dear devotees, imagine someone takes a hammer or a saw or a spoon just inflicts wounds on your body. But then imagine Krishna would take his hand and wipe your body. Then you would feel it was worth it. I think we all have our ups and downs in spiritual life, and sometimes we feel, oh, someone just walked over me. But when Krishna comes and soothes his devotee, everything is tolerable. And Krishna does this, he says, I am aware that you begged for my mercy. I am aware that you were a beggar for Kripa. I am aware that you fasted on Ekadasi. I am aware that it was not always easy for you to complete your 16 rounds and your vows. But now be at peace, my dear devotee. Please come back to me. I am your debtor. I will embrace you. I will take you back home. So Mother Earth is also like this. The cows have really treated her quite heavy, you know, with that heavy milk bags, heavy cows. Ooh, so big cows, huh? And their hooves. But Krishna's lotus feet healed all those wounds. So everyone, the time comes, the sun begins to set, and Krishna goes to the village of Vrindavan. It should be happy, but the goddesses of the forest of Vrindavan, it's called the Van Lakshmi, and the birds and animals in Vrindavan's forests are very sad, because Krishna will leave them now and go back to the village. It seemed that the goddess of the forest lamented due to the impending separation from Krishna. The black bees who landed on the sweet lotus feet of Krishna seemed to be like the tears which had fallen from the eyes of the Vana Lakshmi. The peacocks were so sad that they dragged their tail feathers behind them on the ground. This looks like the loosened hair scattered on the ground of this goddess. Do you know what the birds did of Vrindavan forest when they understood Krishna was turning, going out of the forest? They flew up in the sky and they started to beat their bodies with the hands of their wings, thinking, oh why, oh why, oh why. The egrets, now I had to look it up in the dictionary, these are, you know, these birds with long feet, silvery body, long hair, they look long neck, they look a little like flamingos. And other birds flew back and forth, hither and thither, searching everywhere in every lake to find Krishna. So, my dear devotees, how did the scene of Krishna's homecoming look? Now, we will hear a little bit more, then we will sing. I want to request you now to listen very attentively, because I will request you, while you sing, to sing to Krishna and Balaram as they are coming home. So you will sing meditatively. The sight of Krishna and Balaram herding the Surabhi cows on the way to Vrindavan defeated the splendor of two captains, one black and one silver, steering a gleaming white ship. Mother Earth seemed to have entirely turned her entire body into dust of various colors in order to embrace the body of Krishna and Balaram. Have you ever walked in Vrindavan? If you have, you might remember how when you walked, the dust came up and you became all dusty with your dhoti and everywhere. So this dust of Vrindavan is a great devotee of Krishna. When Krishna walks over the land of Vrindavan, the dust rises and then covers everything in his body. There is a cowherd boy who has a little cloth like this and who always wipes Krishna's body so that it continues to glisten and is not covered so much by the dust. Krishna, this boy, Raktak, wipes Krishna's entire body except for the garland. The garland is covered by dust. I must tell you about this best of garlands. This garland is made of 5 different colors and it dances on the chest of Krishna as Krishna dances as he walks through the forest of Vrindavan or moves through the forest of Vrindavan. And there is a cowherd boy behind Krishna who has a new garland, a fresh garland like this in a wet and damp cloth. But Krishna doesn't take that new garland from the cowherd boy. He prefers the dusty garland. Do you know why? Because that garland was made by Srimati Radharani. How can he give up that garland? It's not possible. So, Krishna is everywhere full of dust, but, you know, again and again full of dust, but they wipe his body, the cowherd boys. Krishna had a beautiful white turban, slightly tilted to the left side. There was a peacock feather on top of it. And Krishna's famous Kustuba jewel, it's a little red jewel like this, which he wears around a golden string, with a golden string on his chest, was covered with dust, but it sparkled very brilliantly. No problem. It was glowing. The yellow pollen from Krishna's, from one garland, from flower in the garland, was on Krishna's cheek. And because Krishna perspired, that yellow pollen on his cheek slightly smeared on his cheek. And this looked so beautiful, my dear devotees. Krishna's beauty, we cannot imagine. He is there dancing with his cowherd boyfriends, herding the cows, calling Shavali, hee hee, and everything, and directing the stream of the cows back to Vrindavan. The forest creatures cry tears of separation. Our Krishna leaves us. And Krishna then slowly comes home. He plays a special raga on his flute as he goes through the forest. So, in Vrindavan village, all conversation centered around Krishna. The Brijbasis talked about Krishna's lotus eyes, which seemed to move as he was casting sidelong glances on all the devotees. So just before this procession of Krishna and the cows come to Vrindavan, Krishna very, very decisively plays a very special raga on his flute to stop the cows from entering Vrindavan village. There is a last lake before Vrindavan. It is there before entering this Nandagram village. And Krishna induced the cows to drink the clear water of that lake. Syama, that's the name of Krishna, then divided the herd and counted the cows on a necklace of multicolored gems. So he has a necklace and he counts. Krishna rejoiced if all the cows were present. If even one cow was missing, my dear devotees, Krishna would call her name with a flute. You have heard properly. Krishna calls through his flute. The stray cow would immediately return to the herd and proceed to Braj. It was the attention-looking cow. I think there are a few of them. At the outskirts of the village, there are all these wonderful Brijbasis. There Nanda Maharaj. He has a pepper beard. I don't know if you know what it is. Pepper has white and black colors. Huh? So it's like this, distressed in green. And they wait in great anticipation for Krishna's return with the cows. And I find this very, very nice, how they view Krishna, what they see in Krishna. First, they only saw the dust clouds in the distance, created by the hooves of the cows striking the earth. Imagine there's a dust cloud coming closer. When I wanted to come to London, I couldn't come because there was a dust cloud coming close to to Berlin. It was from this one volcano in Iceland. Sorry. A dust cloud came closer to Berlin and there was a problem with the airplanes. But here, a wonderful dust cloud comes closer. Anticipation. So first they saw the dust clouds in the distance, created by the hooves of the cows striking the earth. Then they heard the bellowing of the cows. This sounds more like a bee, but it should sound like a cow. Sorry, I'm not so good in this language. And then they saw the cowherd boys coming behind the cows. No Krishna as of yet. Finally, Nanda and Yashoda heard the flute song and beheld the bright blue effulgence surrounding the jewel-like prince of Vrindavan. Actually, we hear from Brihad Bhagavatamrita a similar scenario. First, the clouds of the dust is seen. Then the bellowing of the cows is heard. Then the different cowherd boys of Krishna is seen. They look very good. Some have greenish colored bodies. Yes, and they play on their flutes and the Brijbasis see them, but they really want to see one particular cowherd boy. And as they stare into this beautiful scenario, all of a sudden a blue effulgence washes over the horizon and comes on the path of their eyes. They see the effulgence of Lord Krishna, and then they see the jewel-like princess, no, prince of Vrindavan. As Krishna walks down the path, all the Brijbasis are showing their love to Krishna by performing an arati to Krishna. See, the sun slowly sets in the western horizon, and now they all bring forward their lamps, and they see the beautiful prince of Vrindavan entering into their village and perform an arati. The gopis are also standing there, and they do the arati with the eyes. The corners of their eyes are black because Krishna is residing there. They don't look directly at Krishna so that no one finds out what they feel for Krishna. But they look like this. Do I look correctly? And then Krishna appears in the corners of their eyes, and they perform an arati in their hearts. Some of the gopis stand on the roofs of their houses, and they throw flower petals on Krishna. And on these flower petals, they have written small messages. So as the flower petals come raining down on Krishna, Krishna reads the messages. Where will we meet? And Krishna very quickly expands himself and whispers in the ear of that gopi down at the Yamuna bank. Krishna is receiving all the loving messages. As Giridhari, beautifully blue as a rain cloud, walked behind the cows, the earth trembled beneath his lotus feet. The earth feels, oh, Krishna, it trembles like this. Krishna's turban ornaments shook. You know, there's a turban and then there are ornaments which shake. And the pollen from his long flower garland, surrounded by bees, fell all over the body of Krishna. So, in this way, Krishna returns home. And in this way, the long separation of the Brijbasis from Krishna is quenched, or is pacified. You must know that Mother Yashoda often says to the gopis, when is Krishna coming? When is Krishna coming? And then she sends a very tall gopi, with extraordinary size gopi, on one watchtower, so that there's enough heights to view. And that gopi calls, oh, Krishna is not just now coming, but the devatas, Brahma and Shiva, stand on the path to greet Krishna, to catch just one glance of Krishna, the other gopi says. And there are Gandharvas who have come to congratulate Krishna for his extraordinary melodious flute playing and his dancing. So in this way, Krishna, the Lord of the Praneshvara, the life of the devotee's heart, comes back to Vrindavan. My dear devotees, I know that some of you are thinking in your hearts, oh, will I ever see Krishna? Will Krishna come into my life? I know that some of you are feeling doubts. Oh, I'm not so advanced. My heart is so much impure. It looks to the things of this world. And you might feel, as long as I look towards this world and the attractive video cameras in the shop or the tandooris, vegetarian tandooris, the rasgulas and the beautiful women and men of this world, how will I ever see the beautiful form of Krishna? My dear devotees, there is one way of seeing which you can practice. It is seeing through the ears. Especially when we sing the holy name of Krishna with great faith in our heart, remembering Krishna and calling out for Krishna, the Lord will enter not through our eyes first, but the Lord will enter through our ears. And the Lord will, He has bypassed our eyes, because the eyes are not yet qualified to see Him. The eyes are so much looking at the world. But Krishna is bypassing the eyes, and He goes through the ears, because the ears can hear His most merciful form, the form of His holy name. And Krishna enters through the channel of the ears. He goes deep into the heart, and He cleanses the marrow of the mind. And when that heart is purified by the chanting of the holy name, He will arise in our perception. So I request all of you now to chant with your heart, praying that Krishna enters through your ears and just cleanses the dirt and the sanskaras from your heart. And then maybe the curtain will open. Maybe. And the separation will be gone. Hare Krishna. I think, and I know actually, that in chanting the holy name, there's always one task ahead of each one who comes and sings or does japa. That the task really is to somehow bring the holy name, or bring better, to bring the mind together with the holy name, to make them mix. And that's not an easy task, because the mind is material and the holy name is spiritual. And oil and water don't mix very well, or material and spiritual things don't mix very well. So it's almost, Rupa Goswami says, as difficult as to bring mercury and sulfur together. When you have mercury and you want to somehow mix it with sulfur, that is a very difficult task, because mercury will always run away from the sulfur. Maybe some of you have broken a thermometer when they were young out of mistake, and you saw the mercury, this silvery thing, forming little balls and just running away. That's your mind. When you want to bring it together with the holy name, It just runs away. Maybe you have noticed. No? Think all of a sudden, I have to buy this sabji, this potatoes tomorrow. And it's so late. Why is it always later? You know, the mind just runs away and is not present with it. So what to do? In the Ayurvedic science, this is the example of Rupa Goswami, there is a medicine called rasayana, which is made by grinding repeatedly the mercury into the sulfur. They have these little Indian Ayurvedic helpers, and they will just grind with in a stone mortar this mercury, and it go like in India work labor or labor doesn't cost so much, so for 2 days or 3 days, sometimes a week, they grind this and bring this together, and then it connects, the sulfur and mercury mixes, and as a result you get this rasayana, this life-giving medicine. So in the same way as an Ayurvedic Kaviraj has to mix the medicine again and again, grind again and again, you have to come to these kirtans and you have to come to these and do your japa again and again and grind the mercury into the sulfur or the mind and bring it into the holy name. And once that is there, clack, once the mind is connected with the holy name, then you have your rasayana. You have a powerful medicine which can wake up an almost deadened soul, a lifeless soul, a spiritually a poor soul, and the soul rises and starts to leave its sick bed in the material world, huh? And you become enthusiastic and inspired in your Krishna consciousness. So the best place really to do this grinding exercise, you know, to bring the mind together with the holy name, the best place is in the association of devotees, when we come together like this and we really make an effort to chant the glories of the Lord. And it helps to hear a little bit about Krishna and his fantastic nature, his beauty, his pastimes, his qualities of like the merciful quality, huh? And then we can very easily connect what comes out here, the sound vibration of the holy name, with Krishna the person, and that is always very, very good. So thank you all very much for staying that long. I feel there is an invisible presence of Ramanuja Prabhu, and now it's visible, now I can see you, but I could feel your presence and the presence of Krishna Kirtan in this part. So they will give a few important announcements, I can see. But before they do so, I want to just thank you from the core of my heart. It's so nice to come to a place like this wonderful temple, which has such a long history and which does such, let me say, historic preaching, but also futuristic preaching. You know, there's so many projects here going on that it gives great joy to the heart of a wandering soul, a wandering monk, and I'm very, very enlivened by how nice you can sing. Oh, I thought in London no one can sing because the fog, I thought, has come in the throat and in the lungs, and I thought that has disqualified you from singing, but no, you sing very beautifully and very, very loudly, and want to thank our Varunji for his rhythmical accompaniment. Surprising Medanga. Very good. So thank you very much. And let us now hear patiently, expectantly. You know, I'm not so good in English. I'm trying, something comes out, but it can be improved, as you have heard. Huh? So Ramanuja Prabhu, please say something.